I'm going to talk to you this morning about giving. Oh, giving. Oh, the weight of it all. You missed a blessing if that's what comes to your heart. Hey, let's see. Can we have a moment of honesty? Would it be okay? How many of you, when the thought of giving comes, now be honest, the Lord knows, the Lord is watching. He is in this house. Okay? How many of you, whenever the subject of giving comes up in the church, okay, that a negative thought, even if you chase it away, but a negative thought comes to your brain? Come on. Point of honesty, the Lord's watching. He knows. Yeah. Isn't it sad? It really is. It's sad. Because giving's supposed to be joy. It's supposed to produce joy in our life. It will produce joy in our life. It's not just what this message is about. That is the reality when you give. Now take it out of the context of the church. How many of you are parents? Don't you just love it when, like say at Christmas, you're able to get just that right thing for your child, and they were not expecting it. Come on. And they open it up, or they come down to where the Christmas tree is at or whatever, and there it is. And that incredible look on their face. I remember when we got our oldest son a drum set. He wasn't expecting it. We were pioneering a church and poor as church mice. And he had asked for it, and we said, "Oh, buddy, you're going to have to put an asterisk next to that one because, you know, that's just way too much money." And so we had alleviated any hope, but God, being the wonderful God that He is, made a provision. And I was able to go to the music store where he took his lessons, and they made me a deal and even put the thing together for me. And I had it all set up in our living room. And we have this little thing that Dad started. Excuse me, I'm going to bring you into our house for a moment or two. Where they open up all of the presents, and then if there's something that's a little bit nicer, a little more spectacular, I hold it out. And I've just done this for years. And they get all done, and they say, "Is that all? You know, is that all of them?" I say, "Well, I think there's one more." I love doing it. And this is one of those things, "I think there's one more." I said to Ryan, I said, "Well, honey, why don't you go in there and look in the living room? I think there's something in there for you." And he walked around the corner and saw that drum set and collapsed on the floor. Wish I had a picture of it. I mean, he just collapsed. It was like every dream that he had, you know, when you're young, dreams are simple. Every dream was just totally fulfilled. And wow, to be able to give that and to see that kind of reaction. How many know what I'm talking about? Come on. Now tell me giving's bad. Oh my goodness. I mean, we look for those opportunities to be able to give, to move with our giving. And it's not just amounts. It's the gift at the right time and being able to give the gift at times that you didn't think were it was going to be possible. There's a couple who kind of came to an understanding of giving, and I wrote down what they said. Jerry and Muriel Caven, After successfully establishing a restaurant chain, two bands, a ranch, a farm, and real estate ventures, Jerry Cavan says that's when the real fun started. At the age of 58, I was headed into retirement looking for a nice lake home. Then God changed our plans and led Muriel and me to put our money and time overseas. It's been exciting. Before we gave token amounts, now we put substantial money into our missions. Our hearts are in India now. We visit and minister there often. What changed their attitude toward giving? It was realizing God's ownership that got us through. Once we understood we were giving away God's money to God's work, we had a peace and a joy we never had back when we thought it was our money. After seeing the way poor Christians in India trust Him, we've asked God if He wants us to give away all our money. Our is in quotes. He hasn't led us to do that yet, but we've meant it when we said it. Jerry says a non-Christian couple saw us giving and saw how much it excited and changed us, and they started to give too. Even before knowing Christ, they saw the joy and they wanted in on it. He added, one of the big results of our giving is that we no longer hold things too close to our hearts. We can let them go, realizing they won't last, but we will. Amen. Hallelujah. What a revelation for these folks to come to the understanding of the power of giving and how it produces joy in our lives. How many like to receive? Come on. How many like to receive? Okay, let me do it this way. Husbands and wives, just kind of look at each other, and let me ask that question one more time. I'm going to help you out here because how many like to receive? Some of you don't? Okay. I think if we're honest, all of us do in a manner, one way or another, right? Giving is an incredibly powerful reality in the Word of God. We have instructions about giving. We have instructions to give. And we are given the privilege of giving by God. How many realize this morning that God doesn't need anything that you have? If He really wants it, He can take it. I would rather give it than Him take it. Let me give you a little illustration of this. God encouraged them to take Israel to take a day of rest. Okay? They didn't do that. They didn't keep the Sabbaths. They didn't let the land rest. One of the incredible things, if you will look at the correlation or the chronological order of things in the Old Testament, the number of years from where God took Israel into the land that He promised them till they were led off in captivity, the number of years and the number of Sabbaths that took place during that time, particularly the seven-year Sabbath of where they were to let the land rest every seventh year. Okay? God said He would bless the sixth year so that the seventh year that the ground could rest, and that they would have a bumper crop waiting, and then they would plant and be ready for the eighth year. If you look at the number of those, it was the exact number of years that the land rested while they were in captivity. Huh? What I'm saying is, they weren't willing to give it, so the Lord took it. Ouch! It's much better to give than it is for Him to take what belongs to him. I'm just telling you, I'm just a reporter here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, find my text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse number 6, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Uh-oh. I said, God loves a cheerful giver. You thought that was just me saying that, didn't you? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your source of seed, or your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service, by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Let me pause here for just a second. Back when I was writing papers and stuff in school, they always accused me of using too many commas. I think it was because I read from the Apostle Paul too many times. You realize it's all one sentence going down through there. Okay, I'm sorry. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Father, we thank you this morning for your indescribable gift. Thank you for sending Jesus to us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to come and transform our lives. Thank you for being in us and working in us every single day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are a loving and a giving God. You have been an incredible example to us. I can only hope that your giving to me, to us, brings the joy to you that you promised to us. Thank you for this privilege. Bless us as we study your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first message that we talked about was the nature of giving. That was the purpose of giving, which is love. God's plan for giving. First fruits, tithes, offerings. Second message was the naturalness of giving. That a giving nature comes from God. The giving nature was lost in the fall. The giving nature was restored at the cross. Today's message is the joy of giving. Oh, I hope that you can come to this. I really do. Not because I'm preaching it. I want this for you. I want this for your life, that you would know the joy of giving. Hey, I can stand up here this morning and I can be very honest with you. Let me just do that. You know, financially, we have tremendous needs here in the church. We're like $22,000 in the red right now in general fund. Let's all be happy over that. Well, we missed last Sunday, you know. I have people mad at me constantly because the ministries of the church have had to evolve and change. You know, Pastor, we used to do this. We used to have this for free. Pastor, the church used to provide this. Yeah, I'm stuck being the guy that has to try to make point A meet point B. And it's hard. So our ministry levels have had to change of what we're capable of doing, what we can give free. See, what crushes me as a pastor, because especially when it comes to ministry things, I want to be able to do them all. I want to provide every meal. I want to provide it. That's my heart. And then when it comes where we have to start dividing these things off and who gets what and where and why and all this kind of stuff, I mean, it's exhausting. It's the stuff that I wake up with in the middle of the night because everybody is special. And yet, you know, this is our reality. I'm saying all of this morning because I want you to understand that, you know, the financial condition of this church is very, very real. Decisions were made to build this beautiful sanctuary, and we love coming here. I love preaching here and singing here. I love it, but it costed a tremendous amount of money. Constantly. Utilities and everything. We've got leaks going all over the place. We've got to try to get fixed, and, you know, those things are all very real. That's our reality, okay? But I want you to know something. That's not why I'm preaching this series of messages. Now, you can choose to believe me or not believe me, but I'm telling you, honest to goodness, the Holy Spirit of the Lord prompted me to do this. And in my heart, it's more because of the benefits that you will receive than it is for what will happen here. Two entities will decide what takes place with First Assembly, and neither one of them really have much to do with me. One is God, and the other is you. Because when Lisa and I put our heads together, and she's working to pay the bills and stuff, she cannot pay more bills than what we have money to pay them. We may shift things around a little bit, move monies from here and there, do what we can try to do to keep it all flowing. But we can only do with what you put into the offerings. That's it. We have no other source besides you. Okay? That's not why I'm preaching this message. I want to see you joyful. I want to see you enriched and blessed. And I know, see, when we come up against this stuff, it is like, you know, the walls go up and we want to fight against it. Even people who give, they put up the walls as though, I'm going to reach into your pocketbook and try to take some more money out of it. No. I don't want to get between you and God. I don't, and Lisa can attest to this, I don't know what you give. And honest to goodness, I don't care. It's between you and God. The only thing that I care about is that you understand that there is an incredible joy that comes with giving. There are incredible promises that the Word of God gives to us concerning giving. And we need to have those because I'm concerned about your regular life as well as your Christian life. I want to see you blessed. As I pray over you, I'm praying God's blessings over your life. I'm praying work. You know, when we have one person or two people or whatever who are without a job, it's a constant thing before my mind and my heart, praying that God would supply a job. Because, see, I want this whole flock, this whole congregation to be working and moving forward and to be blessed. And the Lord's my witness. What I'm saying to you is true. We are praying and working and preaching and living for your blessing and for the best that we can possibly do for you and for your family. If someone says that we're trying to shortchange somebody, you rebuke them because it's not our heart. If we have to pull back in any single area, it is because there's not been enough in the offering plates to do it, not because it was the desire of this pastor or anyone else to pull back. We want your blessing. Are you with me? Joyful giving is about giving what you want to give. Joyful giving is about giving what you want to give. Not about somebody getting out a crowbar and guilting you into giving. There's no joy in it. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Paul says it, and I'll preach it. Each man, each woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Giving is not for God, it is for us. I said it a minute ago, and it's absolutely true. God can get along just fine without you and me. But he has chosen to allow us to participate in what he is doing in spreading the gospel in this world. I'm thankful that he has. I love it when I can see a missions dollar at work. I love it when I can see the fruit of giving, whether it be small or large, but when I can see that have an effect upon somebody's life. What incredible joy! God has everything at his command and disposal, but he chooses to let us into the process. The power of giving is in the choice. The choice. Will I give or will I hold it back? Gifts are measured, according to the Word of God, not by their size, but by what remains after the gift has been given. I don't know how many times that Jesus did it, but we know that on one occasion he stood kind of like where I was standing here today by the treasury. There was a deposit box where the people brought in their temple tax as well as their tithes and their financial offerings that they brought to the temple. And Jesus stood on a particular day right next to the box and he watched what people were giving. I mean, now they didn't have envelope system back then. Okay? So, he could see. Now, how do I know that? Because he was counting according to the Bible. He counted how much the little lady gave and he counted how much the rich person gave when they brought theirs. So, he's actually counting. What? Ooh. Really? And he was making judgment. Ouch. I'm so glad we have the envelopes and that when I'm standing here, most of you turn them face down. That's good. You know? Because he hasn't made me the judge. Oh, thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad, Pastor, that he didn't make us to be the judge? All it is, I get to impart the truth of the Word of God to you, and what you do with it is between you and him. And I will not be seated on any thrones to ever make any judgment. It's totally between you and the Lord. Oh, what a magnificent thing it is to come to this incredible understanding that it's not what we give, it's what we have left that he really notices. As I said, the little lady that came and put into the offering, and he turns to his disciples and he says, she just gave more than all the rest. And the disciples are like, huh? Because here's another point. They were standing there too. And they were watching what was going on also. And they're trying to make the equation, because in the flesh, the equation was, she put in a mite. Smallest of the Roman coins. And they had watched others come in and set bags full of money in there. Hold on a minute, this doesn't work. You know, a little mite and big bag. And the Lord said, because she gave everything she had. And he recognized it. Joyful giving is about giving what you want to give. I've stood in services. Some of you have as well. As a matter of fact, some of you that lifted your hand there when I asked about the negatives. I've sat in services where ministers compelled people to give beyond what they had. I've heard them say, write checks in faith. That's wrong. That's wrong according to the Word of God. I want you to understand that. You see, there's a right and there's a wrong, and that's wrong. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, nor of necessity. Giving produces freedom, and freedom produces joy. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want all the benefits and the blessings that God can send your way? You see if there's anything. Yeah, balcony people too? Do you? Come on. Are you sure? Let me see. You want all the blessings that the Lord can send your way? Amen. Let them flow. Obedience, learning to give, according to the Word of God, seems to affect that. It's very easy to get into a taker, receiver mentality. That's where your joy is when people give to me. That's when I can be the happiest. It's not true. The truth is, the greater joy comes in the giving, not in the receiving. That's where the little proverb came. Great, you know, what is it? More blessed to give than to receive. Giving produces freedom from the bondage of things. God is able to make all things abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Things tie us to this world. Giving releases us from this world. Giving produces the freedom to receive more. Ever think of it in that way? Oh, Lord, I want you to bless me. Oh, your cup's already full. Pour some of it out. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That's what he says on the heels of giving. In other words, he is promising that as we release and we give, that more will be given. Jesus taught that he was not interested in us tearing down our supply barns and building bigger ones to contain blessings. Rather, he would have us to release what we have to make way for new blessings from him. Go and give away everything you have, he said to the rich young ruler, and follow me, and that's where the blessings will be. And the rich young ruler went away sad, because it says, for he had much wealth. Whew. Don't you just wonder what would have happened with that boy? I assume he was a boy, it said young man. Don't you just wonder what would have happened with him had he done what Jesus said? If he would have given away everything he had? I mean, you know, God being the God who he is, God being the way that he is, the God being the one who watches over the treasury and knows exactly what's taking place. And when Jesus specifically asked him to give it all away, I can tell you by the Word of God exactly what would have happened. He would have gotten more than he ever gave. You can't outgive God. His coffers are too big. Giving produces the freedom to be a conduit of blessing. Too many of us want to be reservoirs of blessing. We want God to bless us so that we can hold on to them. We want God to bless us so that we can possess ourselves. He wants us to be conduits of blessing so that He can count on us pouring things through us. If God wants to bless somebody, can He do it through you? No, don't be too quick. Now, God can always count on me to give 10% of anything He gives me. I'm a tither. What if God gives you $100 to give to somebody else? And your methodology is that whatever God gives to you, you give Him 10%. So, if my math is correct, God gives you $100 to give to someone else who is in need, and you, using your formula, give the guy $10 and you keep $90. How many think there's maybe a little problem with the conduit there? Come on. How many think there might be a little problem with the conduit? If God is wanting that fella to get $100, He will know this. The only way that that guy's going to get $100 is if I give him $1,000. So then God is looking for the believer who is really a giver that He knows will serve Him as a conduit, and that 100% of what he gives, they will give. So the Lord looks around for that individual who will give obediently as He would design, not just using some formula, good, bad, or ugly, but will listen to His Holy Spirit that He can say, give this to such and such a person, and they will be a conduit of that blessing to that person or to that ministry. See, that's the difference between being a reservoir and a conduit. You say, well, you know, I'm a tither. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good example from the law and from faith in the Word of God. It's good to follow the examples of the Word of God. Nothing wrong with tithing. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But being a conduit of the blessings of the Lord will be different than keeping of the tithe. It's about listening to the Lord, and everything that God gives to me is His. And He can decide where it goes and when it is given and how much and why. Sometimes He won't tell you the why. Sometimes He just encourages you to give, and the blessing is to give. And He says, well, if I give to Him, will He give it back to me? In ways that you never ever imagined. Storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves cannot break in and steal. It's the best place to invest. You know, if you're looking for dollar, you're going to be disappointed in that sometimes. Well, you know, I gave $10, I'm looking for God to give me $100. You may wait a while. But if you give consistently and your heart is correct, one thing you can know is that God will take care of you. He will supply. He will minister to you. And the joy of knowing that as I give in obedience to the Lord, as I give in obedience to His Holy Spirit, as I allow my life to be a conduit of giving, God can count on me to give. What's He going to do? He's going to send more through me. It's just the reality. So I don't understand why God doesn't pour more money onto me. Well, how are you doing with what you got? My Bible says, be faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Some folks can't handle a little. What would you do with a lot? Oh, I would give. Would you really? See, if you can't give $10 out of 100, back to the percentages, but if you can't give $10 out of 100, if the Lord blesses you with thousands, can you really bring hundreds instead of tens? Really tough when you sit down there and you start writing all those zeros on there on the left side of the point. Giving produces the freedom to be a conduit and a blessing. Listen to this. Hugh McClellan Jr. says, the joy of giving is watching God work, seeing the supernatural foretelling of His plan and His word through me and other lives of former fallen men and women to reach the world with His offer of grace is worth the price of any gift. All the endeavors of man mean nothing compared to one act of the Almighty God. The joy of giving is being able to say, as John did in 1 John, that which we have heard and have seen with our own eyes. To see God perform His work with our own eyes is joy unspeakable. To know that He used me to extend this offer to others is an amazement and thrill with which nothing else can compare. The Bible calls it the joy of harvest. This joy is enhanced as God calls us into being His co-worker. Ray Berryman, the CEO of a national firm, who gives at least half, he and his wife give at least half of their income to God's work each year. He said, my joy in giving comes from serving God in a way that I know that He is calling me to, and in realizing that what I give is impacting people for Christ. Ray says, it's exciting to know we're part of evangelizing, discipling, helping, and feeding the needy. It just feels wonderful and fulfilling. The more we give, the more we delight in our giving. The more God delights in us, our giving pleases us. But more importantly, it pleases God. With the exception of personal items for their children, their goal is to give away all they have before they die. Because they've found the richness of giving. The joy that comes in giving. Well, let me end this. I got a minute. These hour and 15 minute long services are really tough. You're assuming I didn't preach last week. Joyful giving is about awareness. In verse number 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying needs of God's people, but also is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. It's an awareness that everything that we give, when we give, we are matching what God has done, and God is watching us. The awareness that everything that we have belongs to God. Does it? Does it? Does everything you have belong to God? Or is it yours? Oh, I worked for everything I have. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like a hardworking man or woman. I've worked for everything that I have. Every dollar that I had, I worked for. We like to put that in the face of those who would beg. Is it true? My Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. That job that you had that you thought that you got on your great talents and abilities came to you because God loves you and cares about you. Giving helps us with the awareness that everything belongs to God. Giving at times that you didn't think that you were going to give, or giving more than you thought that you were going to give, or just giving period at certain times in your life may prove to you and before the Lord that everything you have belongs to God. It says He scatters His gifts abroad. Now He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food is God. If you don't get anything else that I say today, I pray that you can get a hold of this. Everything that you have received is from God. And the reason that joy produces giving is that it allows us to give back what we have been given. Giving is service to God. That's the reason why he says, don't give reluctantly or of necessity, because God loves the cheerful giver. When God wants something from you, does he have to tear it out of your hand? Or can he count on you, if he puts something into your hand, to give it freely? When we get this right, the question that we have in our minds is, how do I keep servicing this life and taking care of my family and give what I want to give? Because you find yourself wanting to respond to every need and every circumstance. Here's just, not that my life is an example in this at all, but let me tell you how I handle this. It's something that I learned a long time ago. Giving something is still giving. Giving nothing is not giving. Okay? So no matter what the need, no matter what the circumstance, if I am moved, and sometimes even if I'm not moved, I want to give something because of the joy that comes in giving. And I know that in that response, I'm going to be benefited. There's a little selfishness that you can hear in there. But it's true. If a need is presented and I do absolutely nothing, I don't get the joy. If I do something, even if it's small, I still get the joy. And after all, it's not about the size of the gift, it's about what's left over. And hello? You know, if I can't give $5 for this need, and I go out and have a $25 meal for my joy, I miss it. You understand? I'm trying to be as practical as possible. There's joy, incredible joy in giving. I close with this. I believe it's Peter that says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Oh my goodness. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, how is that possible? That Jesus experienced joy in experiencing the cross. It's because there's joy in giving. And wow, what a gift he gave. He gave it all. Amen?